Tax Resolution Ninja Show, where we feature the top experts on all things tax to help you understand, navigate, and resolve all your tax-related issues. Now, let's get started with the show.
Hi, I'm Alan Rolnick. I'm the host of the Tax Resolution Ninja Show, where I feature top leaders who help people with major life events like immigration, settling, underinsurance funding, divorce, health issues, losing a job, sales and marketing issues, and many, many more. Past guests have included Jeffrey Schneider, Eric Cohen, Adrian Miller, Sylvie Heyman, Adam Pearson, Evan Rabin, Nancy Schick, and Samuel Wiener. This episode is brought to you by Tri-State Tax Resolution. Do you owe the IRS money and are ignoring their letters? Then you need to call my tax emergency hotline at 718-841-7317. The IRS has invited you to a party, and it's not to celebrate your birthday or anniversary. The party you were invited to is at your expense. They are coming with a different kind of refreshment. They are serving levies on your wages up to 90%, seizures of your assets, including your car, bicycle, furniture, and anything that is not nailed down. They will take up to 85% of your Social Security check and revoke your passport. They could ruin you and your family financially. You do not want this to happen. You do not want your employer to know that you have a tax problem. You do not want your bank and credit card company to know that you have a tax problem. There is a solution. Let me help you get in front of the problem and permanently resolve it before the IRS arrives. Call my emergency room hotline at 718-841-7317. Set up an appointment and I will take it from there. I will do the heavy lifting for you. You will never have to speak to an IRS agent. Do it now before the IRS takes enforcement action against you and your property. Children, dogs, and mother-in-laws are exempt. I have with me today Alex Kuhn from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and he is the owner of a leadership development company who helps impact entrepreneurs start, who has two programs, Born to Lead and The Vault. They help impact entrepreneurs starting and growing from six to seven to eight figures. His focus is matching entrepreneurs to the leadership business model that matches their innate talents and strengths. Alex, thank you for joining me. I really appreciate it.
Alan, I am so glad to be here. And truthfully, right, full confession, I usually run away from any conversation or the word tax. So I'm here because of your positivity energy. So I appreciate being here.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So tell me, how did you get started helping executives develop their leadership skills?
Sure. I mean, it's everyone has their long journey. And, you know, the last thing, you know, I'm sure everybody wants to hear is, you know, how I knew at 6 years old, at 7 years old, this is what I was meant to be. But I don't think anybody ever at the age says, listen, I want to work with leaders. But there's always was something part of me growing up, whether it was as a swimmer or whether it was a student or was in any sort of organization. I always just had that desire to step out in front. I always had that desire to help people, you know, from a leadership perspective. And I can remember as young as 9 years old, when anytime somebody called me a follower or said, oh, I just follow the pack, there was just something that really got me mad about that, Alan. So I think leadership has always been a part of my DNA. And those are the type of people I love working with. You know, having gone through a variety of leadership positions myself, from being one of the youngest NCAA head coaches in the history in the sport of swimming, to starting and selling two of my own multi-million dollar organizations before I started Born to Lead today. And I can tell you that to me, I believe that, and I'm sure I'm going to get a lot of flack from all my other business friends, but I really believe that at the end of the day, if you're not, as an organization, fully developing your own leadership talent in addition to your team's leadership talent, I believe you're really missing the true opportunity of how businesses are going to be successful in 2021 and moving forward. So that's how I got into leadership. It's why I love working with those people that really see leadership as crucial and necessary for their own development and truly their own success.
So let's talk a little bit about your coaching the NCAA swimming team. How did that happen?
Yeah, it was, you know, it was funny. It's a really simple story. I was at the end of my college career and I wanted to make the Olympics. I really did. And if you ever meet me in person, You would never see a swimmer. I'm about 5'9". I am built like a wrestler. I am thick. I am definitely not that natural swimmer, but I love the sport. I just love the tenacity to it. And at the end of my college degree, I actually had two options. I had the option of, one, going into Nike's marketing department in an incredible position for an undergrad, or I had the opportunity to live off of basically a wage that paid me $5 an hour in Iowa as an assistant swim coach. Looking at my sheet at that point in my life, I have one of those sheets that says, what do I want to do before I leave this planet? And one of them was to coach. So I said, you know what? What's 1 year? What's 1 year to be an assistant swim coach? So I packed my bags, packed my 1996 Mercury Cougar, drove to Iowa. I have never been from Iowa. I've never even knew about the state. I always thought about it as the flyover state. But during the first couple of years as an assistant coach, I really had a reputation for recruiting and truly, really bringing in some incredible talent, maybe far beyond maybe the school's reputation. And so that allowed me to get my first coaching job at the age of 24 at a small liberal arts college in Virginia, an all-women's college, in fact, called Sweetbriar College in Virginia. So that's kind of how I got started in my coaching career, my first head coaching position. And, you know, fortunately, I was very grateful to be able to work with some of the most incredible young men and women that were swimmers, that were very talented, that trusted me as a coach, but more importantly, their parents trusted me to make sure that their sons and daughters grew and graduated and had opportunities beyond that. So I was very grateful for that. And I really took that position very seriously. You know, from a swimming success, you know, we built, you know, the Sweetbriar team had no wins for many years, and we actually finished third in the conference after my second year. And that's where I got another big reputation. And then I moved my coaching all over to California, which is basically the heart and center of the swimming world, before I decided that I needed a new venture in my life at the age of 29. So that was my swimming career and coaching career.
So what happened when you decided to retire from the swimming arena?
Yeah, you know, everyone, it was at that point where, you know, I was about 20, like I said, 27, 28. And I was one of those names that was on the rise. You know, in the swimming world, I was starting to get that reputation, like, this is the guy who's going to be a Nick Saban of swimming, that I was going to be able to work at the University of Texas or the UCLA's. And I had some different opportunities, you know, after my second year at Occidental. And I was looking at my life and I was thinking to myself, there's two things that really said, you know what, I don't think this is the direction I want to go with my life. I mean, listen, it would have been the easy route. It would have been so easy. But there are two things that really stuck out to me. Number one, one thing you'll have to know about swimming is they do not pay anywhere near as well as football. So even though working the same hours and the same recruitment, right, with full transparency, right, it was not going to be amount of effort in versus the amount of reward back was never going to match. So that was one piece for sure. But the second piece was, is again, I always looked at my sheet of saying, what do I want this life to look like? And there was always a part of me that just said, you know what? I really wanted to go out and start my business. And I had no idea what it was going to be. I had no clue. All I knew is that, listen, if I end up going to that next position in college swimming, it was going to be very difficult for me to leave and to really try to start something on my own. So that was the main reasons why I left.
And then what happened, when did you decide to get into develop the two leadership programs that you developed?
Yeah, when I got into entrepreneurship, you know, like 29, 30 years old, I think it would be foolish of me to sit there and say, I'm able to go and teach business leaders. So I didn't really know what business I wanted to start. I didn't have really this, like, you know, a lot of people say, I had this expertise or this idea, or I was pissed off about my job situation, so I'm going to just do it better. I didn't have that. I just had, like I said, I want to do this. I'm going to figure it out. And I am a person who has a very high risk tolerance, meaning I'm happy to take on a lot of risk and maybe a little less today because I have a little guy and a wife to support. But, you know, during that time, it was me, myself, and I said, I'm going for it. I'm going to just go for it. I had no clue what that was going to look like. So I literally started a variety of businesses. I started an athletic mindset coaching business. Like, you know what, maybe I'll just start with my bread and butter and start to build my own business. Fail. I started doing a little bit of just like a network coaching thing. Like, I had a knack for kind of helping people build relationships. So I said, you know what, maybe I'll teach people how to network. Fail. Finally, my background and my education is in industrial psychology. So one of the things that I was actually doing some organizational work and just kind of making some things go by was I had the ability to kind of create assessments, personality profiles, things for organizations to help them better understand their clients. And one day I was at the gym, I'm a big fitness fanatic, and a gym friend of mine said, listen, Alex, I want to fully confess, I love working personal training, but I struggle understanding what my female clients' challenges are. I don't know how to communicate with them. I don't know how to interact with them. Could you give me some tools or guidance on how I can best motivate them? Because I want to see them succeed. But like all my male clients are doing great, but all my female clients, they tend to yo-yo up and down. I don't know how to help it. And that was when my first business came out of the idea. I said, oh my gosh, there's an opportunity here to really help gyms, personal trainers, and obviously more female-oriented clients understand their own motivational challenges, their why they are emotionally eating, and really kind of diving into the psychology of it. So that was my first business. We call it Overcoming Obstacles that I sold. That was like 3 years after the fact. But then after that, I started another digital marketing agency. But really my passion was always this. I was always getting people to ask me questions about leadership. How was I leading my team? How was I showing up this way? Why was I speaking this direction? Like, how did it seem that we had like a little more control in how we ran our organization versus maybe some of the others of their peers? And it just always was one of those passions of mine that I just, you know, I always read every leadership book out there that ever came out. I always was fascinated by leaders. I was always just interested in learning and asking questions. And so around 2016, I, on the kind of like a side project, I started a program now that stays called The Vault, where we work with entrepreneurs on leadership all over the world. And that's how it started. It just started as a little side project because I really believe at the end of the day, that as much as many people talk about, it's not what you know, but who you know, I really believe that if you want the people to know you, then you better show up as somebody that people want to get to know as well. So that's how I started getting into it, and the rest is history.
Well, they say that the company that you keep sort of influences whatever else goes on in your
life.
You know, you mentioned that your failures of two businesses, you know, when you first started out, but they really weren't failures. If you think about it, they were learning experiences. So whatever you learned from those things that didn't work out, you brought to where you are right now.
Yeah, and the reason I sometimes use the word failures is because, you know, at the end of the day, I think everybody that's successful, and it's not about in business and just in any facet of your life, that they always say, listen, the best lessons I learned were when I made my mistakes or when something didn't go well. I think there's just so many, I think the narrative, especially in today's age, is that we want to, especially this whole Instagram world, we want to put out the best pictures. We want to put out the best of ourselves. We want to say, oh, we're traveling around the world. We want to really highlight all the great things that we have going on in life. But I believe there needs to be this paradigm shift. And that's why I keep talking about paradigm shifting leadership. And that is not just being vulnerable, just to be vulnerable, but really truly showing people that it's okay to show your weakness. And in fact, I want to show that even though I may be down, I may be out, I may be weak, I may not be where I need to be, I can still rise. I can still lead. I can still show up. And so much of what I want to make sure that there's so many, and you know, maybe sometimes this is a male leadership challenge because we feel like we have to be the breadwinners, you know, we have to be the front and center, we have to be strong. And I want to make sure that every leader, regardless of gender, just understands that there is a desire and want by your audience, whether it's your clients, your teams, they want you to show up with honesty. They want you to show up and really show who you are. It doesn't mean that you have to be negative. We're not talking about that. It really just means that, listen, if you're having a bad day, share that you're having a bad day, but tell them how you're going to overcome that bad day. Share your experiences, share your failures. So it's one of the reasons why if you follow me on Instagram or anywhere else, you'll hear me talk more about my failures than you'll ever hear me talking about, oh, this is how my business is growing. Oh, let me show you my car. Let me show you my house. I just think that's just crap. I think it's time to really show the stuff behind the scenes so people really get an idea that they can do it as well.
So what kind of businesses do you help, or people that do you help? Do you help the guy who owns the candy store down the street? Or is it someone who owns, a company with 10 employees? Or does it have to be 100 employees?
Yeah, that's a great question. I work with everybody from the solopreneur all the way to the 10-figure business and their leaders. Everybody has their own challenges. And there are definitely some core concepts of leadership that while they may be in terms of where they need help within their leadership, but I believe at the end of the day, leadership is really truly about creating clarity, connection, and conviction, not only with yourself, but with others. if you're the solopreneur, whether you're the coach or the small business owner that's just getting started, you may not have a team today, but truly you're trying to attract, you're trying to relate, you're trying to connect with clients, especially if you're in the service business oriented. And I would say typically, I think I have two clients that aren't selling services. They're selling products or some sort of technology. So most of my clients that I work with typically are selling some sort of service, coaching, consulting, anything that's kind of in that service oriented region. And it's a passion of mine, because I think that service, there's such a challenge to it, because people may not see that as a tangible business, or it's like a tangible product. But the reality is the work that you do is necessary. It needs to be out there. There's businesses that need so much help with their taxes and challenges there. And Alan is not just another diamond, or I'm not just another coach. We are unique. We got special traits, we got special skills, and we got into this business for a reason. So those are the people that I love to work with. And again, I've got, you know, people in my Born a Lead program that, you know, they're starting out, and really the objective is to get their business up to 100K per month. I got people in the vault that are doing 7 and 8 figures that really want to start building the business that works for them. And I've got a few private clients that are obviously in the, you know, Fortune 500 and high corporate levels that really are, you know, that we just do trainings with, and we kind of look at the visionary strategic pictures of their organizations.
What do you tell the person who's been in business, I don't know, 25, 30 years, and they're still struggling? Yeah. You know, they haven't got any employees, they're working by themselves. What do you tell somebody like that?
Yeah. Well, first, I get messages like that every day. That's always it's hard. Alan, you see me, right? I get choked up every time I see it. And, you know, every time I see my wife at the end of the day, she's like, oh my gosh, you had like one of those messages that just broke your heart, didn't it? And, you know, when I see that person, and I just, first and foremost, I know that we are in the age of coronavirus where hugging is really not happening. But the first thing I want to say is just truly, thank you for having that courage and will to continue going when so many reasons told you to stop. That's the first thing, that you actually have a trait that very few people have, which is longevity. And if anybody knows anything about business, as much as we love to hear about the overnight success, the reality is that my business success has not been an overnight thing. And I know many of the people I work with, it's not an overnight situation. But when you've been working 25 and 30 years, I know that those individuals come in cynical. Like, what are you going to show me that I haven't tried? What are you going to show me that I haven't done? And my answer truthfully is, I don't know if I'm going to show you anything different. I don't know, because I don't know what you've tried. I don't know what your experience is. I don't know what you've learned. I don't know exactly what it is. But here's the one thing that I know that I believe in that most business coaches and leadership coaches never talk about. They talk about how to communicate. They talk about how to do this marketing. They talk about this new shiny object. They talk about this is the only way. And I really believe that I use this as an analogy, if you are a fish, you're not meant to fly, you're meant to swim. And I think there's so many business owners that are trying to grow their business in a way that's not correct for them, that they are operating from a leadership perspective and ultimately building a business model and a leadership model that doesn't fit with what they are uniquely gifted in. So the first thing I always look at when I see that individual is saying, let's take a look at how you're leading, but more importantly, how you're operating your business, and truly see if that matches what comes naturally to you. And once we discover what comes naturally to you, then let's get rid of all the crap that everybody says you have to do or should do, and let's focus on what you are great at. I tell people all the time that, listen, I am the least, you would never want to hire me for organization. You never would want to hire me. I call them business architects. You're not going to hire me to be a business architect. That's not my jam, and I would never build my business that way. So you can imagine, just based on maybe, Alan, obviously the first time you and I've met, but most people know me as I'm a natural motivator. I speak well. I have a sense of really knowing exactly connecting with people. So naturally, I'm going to build my business around that skill. That's great for me, but that's not everybody's skill. So the question is really what comes naturally to you, and making sure you build the business model around that. And that's where I think my genius and the organizations I've worked with really have gravitated towards the work that we do, because it's not about trying to fit everybody in the same peg. It's about finding where your unique position is market, what your unique leadership style is, and really making sure you are hitting on those cylinders.
Yeah, I'm sort of like in that position. I've been around for, I don't know, close to 40 years. So I know what that's like. I mean, I've tried to redefine myself numerous times, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
And maybe now I finally figured it out. I haven't figured anything out. You know, I found something that I'm comfortable with. And you always have to be learning. You always have to be willing to shift gears, because nothing works. One thing doesn't work for forever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then things change. And it took me a very, very long time to figure that out. And you also have to have the stick to intuitiveness, because it's very easy to do it two times, three times, even four times, and give up. And I've done that. I've been there. But you know, I finally found something that I'm actually sticking to it.
Isn't it? And I love that, Alan. And I appreciate. I mean, I think that's the thing, right? You have to figure things out. I mean, just I told people I'm not a, you know, I'm on social media now and obviously doing those types of things. But I mean, 5 years ago, I wasn't thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going to be on social media. I'm going to try to have, you know, 20,000 or 30,000 people following me. That's just the medium, right? To me, there's so many people get so focused on the tools, and they make the tools the foundation of their business, as opposed to the leadership, whether it's just yourself or your team, and really just using whatever medium is best for you in order to grow your business. And I think that's part of it, Alan. You're right. I mean, we are evolving all the time. I think the biggest thing that I hope for anybody, and it's the same thing that goes to me, right? I go through my ups and downs of my business, and you know, the reality is I don't know any business, truthfully. And you know, this is anybody who says that every year they're doubling and tripling and quadrupling their revenue. I just say, listen, if that's your business model, I'm actually worried about you, because I'm pretty sure you're not as profitable as you like to say you are. Because the businesses I know, that when you see businesses accelerate that fast and they say how great it is and how glory it is, well, that means that you have more people to handle. It means you have to have higher teams. You have to have better systems. You have to do all these different pieces. And if it's just you trying to handle all these pieces of the organization, it's going to kill you. And I always say, a lot of times businesses that actually succeed in the end, it has nothing to do with the business. It's actually the leader. Because often the businesses that fail, I see the leader break down first before the business has even a chance to fully grasp what it needs to do and how it needs to operate and what position it has in the market, and making sure that it has a reputation and hopefully a positive reputation in the marketplace and all the different things that go to it. At the end of the day, that's why I love leadership. That's why, I love you, man, because I think that's honesty. That's what I want the people to know. It's like, listen, my last August was a tough month for my business. It was a tough month, but we're here.
Yeah.
We're going to figure it out. That's what I love.
It's been a tough year.
Yes.
For almost everyone.
Yeah.
It's just one of the unfortunate things that life brings you, but you got to just pick yourself up and move forward, because standing still and bemoaning your problems, I guess.
Yeah.
Just doesn't work. It just doesn't, doesn't help the situation. You gotta be willing to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
Try different things.
What tells me about you, Alan. I don't mean to cut you off, but this is what tells me about you. I mean, you're saying, yeah, you've been in this game for, you said 25, 30 years? Is that what you said?
I've been in longer, actually.
So
actually like 35, almost 40.
Wow.
I'm still trying to figure things out. I don't know. I don't know it all. Matter of fact, there's more that I don't know than I do.
That you remind me of my father in that sense, you know, where the humbleness, you could just sense that humbleness. And that's what I listen. Those are the people I love being around. And those are the people I want to talk to. You know, there is no question that if you're just in this, if you're in this for as long as you have, Alan, right, you're three times the number of years in the business, right? You've seen way more than me. And I think that's such a beautiful thing, because that's always hopefully the mentality I try to keep. It's like, I still don't know everything. I'm still learning. I'm still trying to figure out. Right. And I hope I have that same attitude as you do, Alan. I appreciate you sharing that.
You know, and the other thing is, I'm podcasting. Who the hell ever thought that I would be doing a podcast? You know, and this all of a sudden, this came up, I don't know, 6 months ago, I think. I had where I got, you know, finally, you know, said to myself, well, maybe I should do this. And then I met Jeremy, and you know, the rest is history. Mm-hmm. But you know, and social media, geez, I think I'm posting more of my own stuff now than I ever did. I used to, I mean, I still have other stuff, you know, where I get information from other outlets. But in terms of my own, I'm doing more of that than I would have imagined. And sometimes it's fun to do.
Yeah,
because then I can be the half-assed comedian that I think I am. So, mentors. Tell me about mentors. Who are your mentors?
I'm so boring when I get this question. My mentor is always my father and mother, right? I mean, I always tell people that I came from humble upbringing. I grew up on a farm. I grew up with my parents being farmers. In fact, literally, I called my parents just before the show to say, hey, what do you guys got going on this weekend? And, you know, my father and mother, 68, and what are they doing? They just bought 20-acre farmland, and they are chopping down trees all weekend. And they're going to do that from morning to night. And my dad is in the process of, you know, he's been an incredible salesperson for many years, and he's just gotten the bees recently and honey. And so he has like 50 beehives, and now he wants to sell this to, and so I'm trying to get his, I'm like, all right, well, my team get your website. He's like, how do I do this? How do I, you know what I mean? It's just, and that's to me like role models. I think to myself, man, I want to have that energy, right? I'm 38 years old, and it's probably easy for me, right? I'm, you know, I can say I don't feel as good as I did when I was in my 28 by any means, but listen, I want to continue to have this energy. And when I see my parents out there just continue to live life, laugh, love, be open to new experiences, those are the types of experiences I want to be continuing. That's why they've always been my role model. But a business thing, I always think that one of the things that I like to look for in role models is areas that I want to emulate in my life, in my business, in my personal life. And the person right now that I've always followed him, but the person right now that I'm really digging is John Wooden, the former UCLA basketball coach. And the thing that the short story I'll tell about John Wooden for those of you who don't know him, but you know, he's won the most NCAA titles, I believe, in basketball in a row. And so he had these incredible basketball players, you know, the best basketball players in the world come to UCLA, like Bill Walton and a variety of players. And, you know, you would think that the first practice is going to be about, you know, the tactics or the strategy or the goals or something like that. For the first week, John Wooden literally sat down with people and taught them how to tie their shoes, how to make sure their socks were up, how to make sure they showed up on time, like the basics, like the simplest basic things. And he makes sure he instilled those things into them. And that's something I look at and say, listen, no matter what shiny object or what crazy thing that comes in my life, at the end of the day, is our business foundations, are the basic of our business as solid as and the best in the world. So that's the role model right now I'm looking towards that's outside my family.
And look at who the athletes have turned out.
Yeah.
You know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Right.
I don't remember who else, but there's a number of them like that mm-hmm. came up. Those kids came up with nothing.
Mm-hmm.
They got themselves really well situated now.
Yeah, I always like the fact that I had a chance to meet him before he passed in the 2000s. And the one thing that he always said is like, he's not a coach, he's a teacher. And I thought that was really a fascinating way to look at it, that he always approached life as a teacher, meaning he was constantly trying to learn. And he was constantly, you know, trying to figure out better ways to teach people, which I thought just, this was a beautiful way to how he looks at his life.
Right, right. All right, one final question. That is, what's my, no, I was going to say, what's my line? But any books? Are you a book reader?
I am.
What's your favorite book?
Favorite book. First business book I read. And it's maybe some people think that, oh, everyone said that, but My favorite book for me, from a professional development perspective, is How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. Okay. It's still my favorite go-to book. I think it's actually becoming, unfortunately, a lost art in the business world, particularly as more and more people try to quote-unquote automate and social medialize their business. I think that interaction, literally, one of the things I ask every one of my leaders is, do you know every single person's name in your organization and every single client in your organization? And it's sad when I hear that they know half of them or a few of them, et cetera. And, you know, sometimes they'll say, well, I got thousands of people in my organization. How can I remember everybody's name? And I say, that's the tough part of being a leader. That's the, if you don't understand that people appreciate their name more than anything else, and you're not willing to remember that person's name, then you're going to have a tough time trying to lead on to the next thing. So that's one of my favorite books and highly recommend it for anybody in leadership.
Great. I thank you, Alex. I thank you for joining me, and it's really greatly appreciated. And listen to my prior episodes, and you know, we'll see you next time. Take care. I hope to have you back again at some future date down the road. This was very, really very enjoyable.
Likewise, Alan. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Take care, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Tax Resolution Ninja Show. Be sure to click subscribe to get updates on our latest episodes.